realfaith.org.au.
I was at this school, and towards the end, my plan whilst at the school was to go on an extended outreach to Colombia in South America. That was kind of always my dream, to go there. It got to towards the end of the school where I had planned all this, it was paid for, and then this missionary couple came from a city called Tete, and so they came and spoke at the school towards the end, and I felt the Lord say, if I ask you, will you give up all of your plans?
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Jordan Olney had dreams of being a millionaire, earning lots of money through real estate. But when he took a short-term trip to Mozambique, he soon found out that the Lord had more exciting plans in store for him. Jordan Olney, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And I'm interested to find out, how did the Lord get a hold of your heart and kind of just change the whole direction of your life? Let's start off. What was your original vision? Why did you want to be a millionaire?
Originally, I wanted to be a millionaire more so to be more financially secure, financially stable, so that I wouldn't have to stress out, you know, later in life.
You're my inspiration. I'd like to have that too.
Yeah, I'd seen that many times before with other family and friends, and I just, to something in me was like, I will do anything to not be in that situation.
At such a young age, you're thinking about all that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not having it, not for myself, not for my family, that stress. So I made it a goal from, you know, whilst I was in school, that I was
in high school.
Yeah, not going to have to struggle. It wasn't about necessarily about getting a Ferrari or this and that, being rich per se, but it was about, I'm going to put in the hard yards and make sure I never have to stress.
Okay, so that tells me mature at a very young age.
maybe a form of it.
A form of maturity.
Yeah. So my plan at that stage, I did psychology throughout university as my major, and then minored in forensic science. My plan was to eventually go into the police force and work my way up to become a detective. I loved that whole CSI type
stuff. I was wondering what kind of TV programs were you
doing? Yeah. So, you know, it just seemed like the perfect fit for me. I love guns, and I love adventure and being out there and helping people, obviously.
And making millions.
And that was more of a means to an end.
Okay.
But as a career...
So how are those two going to fit together?
Right. So as a career, I also wanted to go down that policing path. Mm-hmm. It was just a good fit for my life. But I also wanted to get to that security stage through investment properties.
Wow, you had this all figured out before you were 20.
Yeah, so at 18, I was like doing lots of research and, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, how do I do this thing? How have other people done it in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And so once I figured out the way that I was going to do it, it was just put your head down, work 6 days a week as hard as you can, and don't spend a dime.
Wow.
a cent here. And so, you know, I just saved and saved for, and I finally was ready to get my first investment property. I had my deposit together after 5 years. I eventually looked at only one property. I only walked through one house before things changed. And all of a sudden, I remember this morning, it was about a year and a half, the whole process to apply and get into the police force. And I remember after a year and a half, one morning, my mum came onto my bed in the morning, woke me up, and she had this envelope, and it was open.
So you had been trying all this time
to
reach your dream and be a detective.
Yeah.
So you could live out CSI type stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. So it had taken me, this was after university, had taken me a year and a half to go through the vetting process. Mm-hmm. And one morning my mom came in and she woke me up and she asked me just one question. She said, do you trust God with your future? And that was really hard to hear because I knew exactly what that meant.
Not exactly.
Not what I wanted to hear, right? I wanted to see an open envelope saying, you got in.
Yeah, exactly. Not, do you trust God for your future?
And, you know, after many tears and having to set that aside for the time being, of course I said, yes, I do trust God with my future. And I know that, you know, it's all about the journey. And mm-hmm. so he's got bigger plans.
Okay, so you got knocked back.
Mm-hmm.
Then how did the idea of a trip come about?
So I bumped into one of my friends. Last time I saw him was when I was 8 years old in church. We were both about 8 years old, and he went to Mozambique with his family to do missions just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And he had been there for about 13 years, roughly. It was the first time he came back to Australia, and so I thought I'd catch up with him for a coffee.
Wow, you hadn't seen him since you were 8 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so now we're, I don't know, 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a coffee at McDonald's, and all I remember was just seeing the fire of God in his eyes. And he was telling me all these stories and testimonies after testimony about how God has provided for his parents and the seven kids that mm-hmm. they have over there in Africa. And I'm just like, I need that in my mm-hmm. life. Like, I need testimonies and stories. I need to know what I believe is true. Like, mm-hmm. I got to have something to hold on to, you
yeah.
know? And so I remember saying to the Lord, you know, whatever it is, whatever cost I have to pay, I want that in my life. You know, I want to mm-hmm. yeah. live it instead of just talking the talk, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so I was asking him about it. His name is Elias. And I remember asking him, and he was like, oh, come and do Harvest School. It's a school for missionaries. It's in Pemba, Mozambique, which is close to Tanzania in the northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, come and do the school. It will change your life. You'll have an experience with God. So at that stage, I researched it and I found out about Heidi Baker, who was a missionary from the United States. And she went over there 20 years ago or something mm-hmm. and basically just loved on street kids. And through all of that and through years of her serving, she basically got well known, and now she's a well known, like, worldwide Christian, almost like a Mother Teresa type figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she runs this school for missionaries mm-hmm. and which is aimed at training people all throughout all the world, many countries, to go out into all the world and do missions and care and love for the one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was about a 10-week course, 10-week school. And at that stage, I was tossing up. I had two options, which is where I really felt the Lord give me a choice. Like I said, I'd walked through that first house, and so I could go down this road and set up and do what I'm supposed to do.
And your original vision, the
my
whole
original
real estate
plan,
and all that.
Exactly. And so, which, you know, is there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
And so to go down that road, or I felt like God asked me, like, or you can go and do this school, and see what I can do with your house deposit. Because that's kind of what I was running on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't.
So that's how you're going to pay for it.
That's how I was going to pay for it, which is basically sacrificing my dream.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
But you had heard something from your friend.
Definitely. That was worth much more than a house deposit. And
wow.
I just knew that I knew deep in my heart that whatever it took, I was going to go and get that. So I took the step of faith, as we all need to take, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes, and applied. I got in to the school
mm-hmm.
and booked my flights, went over there and went for it.
Okay, so we're going to find out more about that trip and how the Lord continued to change your heart. But first, let's back up and find out about your background. Where were you born and raised?
I was born here in Ferntree Gully, close by,
mm-hmm.
In Upper Ferntree Gully at the Angles. And so I've been born and raised as a Melbourneite for my whole life. And so it's been awesome being able to grow up in the church. My grandfather was a pastor
mm-hmm.
for maybe 18, 20 years or so before my dad took over about 3 years ago, approximately.
So you're a pastor's kid?
Yeah, definitely. So
I've heard stories about pastor's kids.
Oh, got to be careful. Definitely.
Sometimes there's challenges with pastor kids, is what I'm getting at. But was that your experience?
I have felt from a young age that I didn't feel a draw away, that draw away that typically you see a lot mm-hmm. of pastor's kids have to deal with, that mm-hmm. whole process of okay, am I going to stick to the path mm-hmm. or am I going to find my own thing mm-hmm. or find my own way?
Or go through a rebellious period.
Or that, you know. Yeah. And so I never really had that impact me or had to go through that. You know, the whole clubbing and thing. I felt like the Lord has really just protected me from all of that. And I just couldn't stand being in that environment or
Never attracted you.
It never attracted me. Like partying, and it was never an attractive thing. And so I had really no reason to run away from the church. I loved being there. I loved the people there.
And at some point you put your faith in Jesus on a personal level?
Yeah, definitely. From a young age. But it just kind of got more and more real to me. The more I understood, the more I learned, and even the more opportunities that I got in church. That was the bonus. That was the big benefit of being in a smaller church, is that, you know, you get opportunities to take oversight one time. And then...
Did you preach?
Yeah. And then and then started preaching. And then, you know, was able to play the drums for a long time since a young kid. So that really helped solidify my faith and also keep me on the right path. And really, I needed nothing else.
Our guest today is Jordan Olney, and he had dreams of being a millionaire earning lots of money through real estate. But, as we've been hearing, he gave that all up to go to Bible school in Mozambique. As we will hear, that is not the end of the surprises that God had in store for him. We'll find out more of Jordan's story and hear more of his adventures in Africa when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is Jordan Olney. He's just a young man, just in his 20s, but he has had several adventures in Africa. Before the break, we heard how he gave up his dream of making millions in real estate. He took the deposit on his first house and put it all toward going to Bible school in Mozambique. Now we're going to find out what happened when he arrived there.
Yeah, so I knew that going in, I wanted to do something and live for something that was bigger than myself. Because I had spent all this time, you know, like building up my own kingdom, you know, starting to. But I realized that life was a lot bigger than me and the world was a lot bigger than me, which I now know. So I was at this school, and towards the end, my plan whilst at the school was to go on an extended outreach to Colombia, which was always like my dream.
Colombia?
Yeah, in South America. That was kind of always my dream, to go there, learn Spanish, and just... I love the people. And so...
So from going from Africa to South America.
Yeah, that was my original plan.
Okay.
And so I had my flights booked and everything was planned. I was going to go there for roughly a few weeks for an extended outreach. Then 4 months after, backpacking, doing things like that.
Wow, really going for an adventure.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And so it got to towards the end of the school where I had planned all this. It was paid for. And then this missionary couple came from a city called Tete, which is about a whole day's drive inland from the coast west into Mozambique. And so they came and spoke at the school towards the end. And when Nick is his name, the leader of Pioneer 61, the organization that I was with, when he got up on stage and started speaking, the Lord was on him, and he was just crying, and I was like, who is this guy? Like, big guy, 6'2", 6'3".
What was he crying about?
He was just crying with the passion that the Lord had given him for the lost, and crying about just some of the testimonies that they had, things that they have been through, and just sharing his heart. And you know, they have taken boys in off the street, boys who sleep in the dirt, have no, ripped clothes. They wear the same clothes for 6 months or more and, you know, have no food. You know, they take these boys in off the streets and give them clothes, give them food, send them to school and teach them about Jesus. And so I knew, I just sitting there, everyone was crying, you know, because this big guy is just sharing his heart.
Yeah.
And I felt the Lord say, if I ask you, again, he did this. If I ask you, will you give up your plans and go and follow and serve this guy.
And your response was, hey, God, I gave up my house deposit. Now you want more?
How much do you want from me? What he would say is everything.
Yes, yes.
I know the answer to that.
But you answered differently.
But yes, that's what he said. He said, will you give up that, all of your plans to go and serve these guys?
Wow.
Because I don't know these guys, you know. I don't know anything about them other than I know that God is on them. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yes. And then it
just,
was...
Just after listening.
Yeah, just after listening. And it was quite a challenge for me to have a one-on-one chat with them, which is a testimony in its own. I was best friends throughout the school, my roommate, with a mutual friend of theirs. Mm-hmm. So he was able to hook me up with a coffee where I was able to ask more about Pioneer 61 and eventually, you know, decide, okay, I'm serious. I'm coming to serve you guys.
Just based on what you heard him share.
Yeah.
What was their response?
They were rapt. They were really said that it was an answer to prayer. They needed guys. They need men out there on the mission field quite often. You know, I don't know percentages or anything, but not often do you see men out there on the mission field. There's a bunch of reasons for that, but
so you can be like an older brother, a role model for the street boys that they're working with.
Exactly. And so I could help disciple them, be an older brother, give them consequences and correction, which tell you what, that was tough. Going from zero kids of my own to about seven boys, you know.
Kind of being a parent to them.
Yeah, wow. Essentially.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a big orphanage where we would have, you know, 100 kids or whatever. They want to keep it small, keep it family. And so they would know that they're really our sons instead of just a kid or just a number, you know. And so there it was really cool for me to, like, my room would be opposite theirs. And so I would essentially be their brother, be their teacher, you know, and all of these different things. And, like, army general as well, like, making sure they're doing their beds.
Wow.
Teaching them.
You went to Mozambique for 10 weeks in Bible school.
Yeah.
Then you went... Instead of going to South America, then you went directly with this couple. Is that right?
That's right. So they drove back, but then after the school and after all of that graduation, I jumped on the Iris plane and they flew to Tete with a small team of people that were just going for a short time, but I was going to stay.
Now, I just want to ask here.
Yeah.
You told your parents. Now, I know your parents because they work here in the same building.
That's
Donna
right.
and Adrian.
Yeah.
And they were kind of, you know, they're excited about their boy going on an adventure.
Eventually coming home, right?
Yeah, and eventually coming home. But then they said, oh, he's decided to extend. When you told them, what was their reaction?
They have always been supportive, no matter what I go after, as long as they believe that the Lord is behind it. And so the way that I described it to them, the stories that I was telling them about this couple, it just blew their minds. Mm. And so... they were more than happy for me to go and serve with this couple and learn and grow and just glean from them whilst serving. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a story.
Yeah.
Like one of the ones that captured your heart.
It was really cool. Like being in the position, being able to mentor these boys, I had to learn the language, which was, you know, for starters, which was quite difficult, Portuguese. I'd never done that before. And
Portuguese in Africa.
Yeah, so the Portuguese colonized Mozambique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I wanted to learn Spanish originally, so it was interesting that I ended up learning Portuguese.
Which is similar, there's some similarities there.
It's like a brother language, essentially. Yeah. And so it was really cool after a few months of just mentoring them, teaching them how to study the word, and we would start to go out on every Saturday, and they would cook in the mornings, cook a massive meal, heaps of food. We would go out at lunchtime to take all of this food out to, with these seven boys, all of this food out to all of their street friends that they once knew and still know.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we would get 100 kids.
Wow.
Like gather at this tree, which is really awesome. And they'd break out these pots and my seven boys would start to just distribute all of these plates and just serve the least of these.
Wow. So you're like 22.
Yeah.
In charge of seven boys, ministering to like 100 boys.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that, to me, I remember getting teary at one stage, and I just remember just seeing the fruit of your labor is something that's really powerful. and something that can really help you keep going, because quite oftentimes it was hard and I wanted to come home because I was like, I'm just like disciplining seven boys. I'm not really making an impact.
Hmm.
But seeing them all of a sudden break out the word and start to preach without me really directing it,
wow.
like they would just take over and just start to preach to these 100 boys. And then like just out of nowhere, I remember one of our oldest, his name is Adilson, and he's anointed, man. Like he, out of nowhere, he would just say, okay, anyone who wants to accept Jesus, preach the gospel to them. These boys in Portuguese or in the African dialect, Nyungwe. And many boys would stick up their hand. They're all quite shy, but they would do it anyway. And they would pray with, Adilson would pray with these boys. They'd accept the Lord and start to be discipled themselves.
Wow. Now, let's back up a little bit. When you arrived there, how far along were they? I mean, you were assigned these seven boys. Did you know if they were Christians or not Christians? Or did you know where they were at in their relationship with the Lord?
I knew that they were brought up within the Christian home. I didn't exactly know how far along they were, but most of them were basically at level one, you know, babies in the Lord, needing milk, you know, essentially.
But they had been street kids? Is that
right? They had been street kids, yeah. So some of them had only been come into the house for, you know, a few months before I even got there.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically working with kids fresh off the street, not really knowing or having a faith at all.
So some of them obviously did because they were sharing their faith.
Yeah, so they all believed, but some of them would have different understandings of exactly the word and Jesus.
So part of your role was to disciple them.
Exactly. And so just basically like how Jesus discipled his guys and is essentially how I felt was my role in just
you had just your trying disciples to help them grow.
And to help them grow and to help them change Mozambique, because it's not, I don't believe it's up to me. Like, God is going to do that through these boys and through all of the fruit that goes out.
And what age range?
It was about 12 to 17. So, teenage boys. Man, it was a challenge.
That's what I was going to say. Street kids, they're not used to any discipline. And suddenly, you're not a parent, suddenly have to be the parent to try to get these guys to kind of get in line.
Exactly. And I would discipline them more than what I myself would generally do, which is because of the high standard of the house.
Mm.
We really
wanted pretty strict there.
Very strict. And so, you know, if we busted one of them stealing, like there was, which happened quite often. And so there was a lot of stuff that had to be grown out of them and loved out of them, essentially. But it was amazing through the time that I was there, almost a year, to see them go from A, which really, I'm not really sure what I believe, blah, 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 to B, they're preaching, kids are getting saved on the streets.
Wow.
And, you know, they are leading discipleship and sometimes taking our little church service that we had on every Tuesday, where we would have our construction workers, 15 guys, men from the town or from the village, and my kids or the boys would...
Yeah.
That would be preaching sometimes
and
giving words and things like that. And they're all like 15 or, you know, to.
Now, let me just summarize here. Originally, you wanted to be a detective / millionaire.
That's right.
In real estate.
Yeah.
The Lord changes your heart. You get knocked back. You don't get into detective school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hear about this trip to Mozambique because you spoke to a friend who said it'll change your life.
And it did.
And it did. So you give up your house deposit that you saved up.
Yeah.
To go there, to go to school, but just for 10 weeks to go to Bible school.
That's right.
Yeah. Then the Lord works on your heart and says, again, give up some more, give up trip to South America.
Yeah.
That was all paid for.
That's right.
To take the thankless task, seemingly,
mm-hmm.
of working with seven boys who are undisciplined street kids.
Yeah.
And kind of disciple them, raise them.
Do my best.
Do your best.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
It more than worked out.
But that's not the end of the story. We're going to ask you to come back again next time to share more of your adventures in Africa.
Sounds good.
Sound all right?
Yeah.
Our guest today is Jordan Olney, sharing about his adventures, how the Lord keeps on challenging him to go from one sacrifice to the next, but it's all been worth it. And we'll find out more about how the Lord is working in his life when we have part two of our conversation with Jordan Olney.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.